Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session. To ask a question at that time, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Sean Wilson. You may begin.
Thanks, Danielle, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the monthly IT Technical Assistance Conference call, and thank you for your attendance this afternoon. We have with us today Karen Vendetti, Kelly Canestrari, Janet Gaspard, and Cheryl Masalunas from the Collaborative, as well as Dr. Mary Smith from DMH. There are no announcements to be made prior to today's call, so Danielle, we're now ready to open the line to Q&A, and if you would, please let us know when there are no more questions in our queue.
Thank you. We're ready to begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1. You may withdraw your question by pressing star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. First question comes from Stacy Phillips. You may ask your question.
Hi, Kelly. This is Stacy Phillips from the Age Group, and we played phone tag back and forth, and we have this error, IL2IF, on several of our clients. Brittany has called before the help desk, and they've told us that we need to re-register the clients. We have done that, and we continue to get the same error. What's happening for some reason is the FundSource APP, it keeps choosing this 574, which we don't have any reason why it would choose that instead of like the MCD or ABC package. What can we do to get these resolved?
Yeah, Stacey, I tried to call you back this morning again and didn't get anything.
Well, I didn't even have a message from you this morning. Can you, like, give me a certain time you're going to call, and I'll make sure I'm in the office?
How about if, can you email me examples of what's going on? It'll be easier if I have it in front of me, and then you and I can, we can set up a conference call.
Sure, I'll have Brittany email you all the examples we have.
That would be great. And then we can set up a time for a conference call, and we can go over each of them together.
Okay.
Or I can respond in the spreadsheet, whichever works better for you.
Okay, because I'm just very concerned since we've called numerous times, not just to you, but, like, done everything when we called the help desk to fix these, that they're not going to be fixed. And when we go and look, they have the ABC. They have the right package. They're registered, but they're saying they're not. You know, what is the IL2IS error exactly? What does that mean?
Let me ask you, when you say they're registered for the ABC funding,
mm-hmm.
are you going to the service matrix and crosswalking the procedure code?
Yes,
with the benefit package?
Yes.
Okay, and the benefit package they have, whether that be, for example, 000E or T or whatever, the procedure that you're billing for is coverable under that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, then this is definitely something that I need to take a look at. So if you could just get me that information, we can set up a conference call.
Okay.
And then we can go over them.
Okay. We will do that.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Janelle Bowen.
Yes. My question has to do, I've printed reports with claims that have now been adjudicated by Healthcare and Family Services, and I am noticing that we have some services that are adjudicated in the non-Medicaid funding, but those are services that are not authorized for that type of funding.
Janelle, it's Kelly, let me make sure I understand your question correctly.
Okay.
You've had a claim that's come through, and it's processed under non-Medicaid. When you're thinking it should be processed under the MCD fund because of either an update to the consumer's registration or something else. Am I hearing you correctly?
Well, I've just noticed on, that before we were just checking claims basically processed through value options and how they were coming back adjudicated. And now I've seen on the data sets where, you know, some of our claims are now being adjudicated by Healthcare and Family Services, and we're finding that claims are being processed as non-Medicaid, and in some of those cases I think that's correct, that the client should be processed as a non-Medicaid client, but you're paying for services such as community support, psychosocial rehabilitation, or counseling that are not authorized services in the non-Medicaid funding.
So you're thinking we're paying claims when we shouldn't be?
Basically, yes.
Okay.
We're not. Are you saying us, or you're saying HFS?
Doesn't matter. Both. I mean, Value Options has processed them. But what usually happens is Value Options is processing them through as Medicaid, but then when they're coming through HFS, they're processing them correctly, saying that they're not, that the client is a non-Medicaid client, but you're also paying for services that you shouldn't be. So we've had clients get paid for services that they shouldn't be receiving, and we've also found instances where clients are receiving services beyond the number of allowed service limits, too. Like, you know, sometimes you can only have 8 units of a particular type of service, and we're finding that, you know, they're being paid beyond the 8 units.
Well, we're not going to make, and we as Value Options, we're not going to make the final determination as to whether the claim processes and against either Medicaid or non-Medicaid. That determination is not made by us.
Right, I understand. I mean, that was my understanding, that that was the part that HFS did. So what I'm saying is, when we're looking at the HFS data type, you know, it's saying that the funding is considered non-Medicaid, but it's processing through services that are not authorized for individuals who are non-Medicaid.
Kelly, it's Mary. I'd be interested in taking a look at those. Can this lady email you through Zix some examples that we can look at?
Sure.
Yes, I can send you my spreadsheet.
That'd be helpful.
Okay, thank you.
I'll talk to you, Kelly, about it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Diana Zog.
Hi, I just was curious, for the training that we're going to have on the HFS on Friday and then next week, will there be some material out on the website that we can look at prior to then and review it before ahead of time?
It's Mary. It's my understanding, there were a couple of PowerPoints. It's my understanding that HFS was working on posting their PowerPoints on the HFS website. I would have to... I think they were trying to get them up towards the end of last week, but I don't know if they made it.
Okay. I didn't check the HFS website. I'll look out there.
Yep, check there. And I had a brief presentation that I will probably post on the DMH website, but probably HFS as well.
Okay. And then for next month, since the first Monday is the 4th of July, are you going to cancel the call-in or have it on another day?
Oh, perhaps we'll have it on the 11th, since I'm sure you don't want to call in on the 4th either, right?
Right.
Yep. Yeah, we'll send out a notice about that.
Okay,
thanks for the heads up.
Okay.
Once again, ask a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Gungnan Mao.
Yes, Dr. Smith, I just want to verify with you, because, you know, regarding the FI-12 service submission. I got a note from one of my users saying that for this fiscal year, that all services, all transmission file on and after July 1st needs to go to HFS, regardless when the services is provided. So that's correct, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So that's different from our traditional method of a system transition, which is for services in the old fiscal year, go to the old system. For services in the new fiscal year, go to new system, regardless of when the batch was made. But this time is different. Is the July 1st is a milestone that regardless. The service in fiscal year 11 or fiscal year 12, as long as the batch was made on and after July 1st needs to go to HFS.
Yep, that's absolutely correct, and the reason is because that's the way the legislation was written.
Okay.
And so we're all complying with the legislation.
Okay, thank you. Any news regarding the A37P documentation on HFS site?
Well, I think you'll be interested to look at the PowerPoint, but, you know, of course the thing, Gong Min, is that the 837P is the 837P, and so the companion guide that's displayed on the collaborative website, you know, still applies to the 837P data that providers are submitting. There really are no changes. It's my understanding that you can log on and submit batch files through the HFS portal, but again, all of the data elements that we've required in the past are still there, including the additional information in the note field and the W codes. And if providers are submitting via direct data entry, there's a portal also on the HFS website that providers can access, and there's some training about that, you know, when you attend the training. But basically, those providers will still be submitting the exact same data elements. So there is no change.
So basically, you're saying that the A37P file, you know, we created, you know, for a collaborative, we can just, you know, send the same file with the same layout to HFS, and they should be able to process.
Yep, that should work.
Okay.
Yeah, we worked with them to make sure that things were consistent.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And at this time, there are no further questions.
Danielle, we'll wait a few moments to see if other questions come through the queue.
Once again, ask a question, press star 1.
John, I think this is a wrap.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Danielle, are there no final questions in the
queue? No final questions.
Okay. If there are no more questions, then that will conclude our call for this afternoon. Just like to send another reminder to the listening audience that, again, the audio for these calls is posted on an MP3 file, which has been placed on the Collaborative's website on the Provider Information page under the Provider Resources heading. Just find the corresponding date. Again, today's date is 6611. So with that said, Danielle, that will conclude the main call. Would you please push the speakers through to Pulse Conference, and you may now disconnect the main line.
Thank you. Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.